The global automotive industry was already in trouble before COVID-19 swept across the world. The trade war, environmental concerns and the search for future motoring, among many other things that were already weighing on sales. And as the economic shocks from the coronavirus pandemic continue to reverberate throughout the global economy, S&P Global Ratings forecasts light vehicle sales of 70 to 75 million in 2020. That's down 15 to 20% from last year. And that's now at the lower end of the ratings agency's base case scenario. The slump in South Africa new vehicle sales slowed in May as dealerships resumed some operations after a lockdown aimed at curbing the spread of the coronavirus pandemic was partially eased. Domestic sales fell 68% last month from a year earlier, and that's compared with a record drop of 98.4% in April. The National Association of Automobile Manufacturers of South Africa's data is slightly encouraging. I suppose these monthly declines do resemble what we saw in the downturn in 2008-09 through the global financial crisis. However, back then, production and public life didn't largely come to a halt. Now, the global auto industry faces obviously many challenges, suboptimal capacity utilization, and therefore a rough road ahead. So how will the local automotive industry get out of this unprecedented crisis? And will there be major structural changes? Well, let's welcome our panel to find out. Mike Mabasa currently serves as Chief Executive Officer at NAAMSA. He's a transport economist and journalist by training. He's got considerable experience in the aviation industry, and he currently serves as Chairman of the Air Services Licensing Council too, which is a regulatory body under the Department of Transport. We've also got Mark Demis, who's Chairperson of the National Automobile Dealers Association, also MD and shareholder of North Motor Group, and Dealer Council Chairman of the Honda Dealer Network in South Africa, and Faisal Mkhizi, who's currently the Absa Group's Managing Executive of Absa Vehicle and Asset Finance, and it's a role that he took up after 3 years serving the bank as Managing Executive of Retail and Business Banking in KZN. Now, Mike, the expansion of South Africa's manufacturing, car manufacturing industry, is really central to government's economic development strategy, but the coronavirus crisis has forced car makers into survival mode, and the concern is that it could push ambitious growth plans out of reach. Some industry officials have said that the government needs to defer some tax payments for the motor industry and relax the criteria for investment incentives and allowances, or the pandemic could deal the sector a permanent blow. Does the industry require further government support at this stage?
Thank you very much, Michael. Look, I think definitely, without doubt, I think we've seen in many markets around the world, if you look at the United States, you look at Germany, you look at China, you look at Japan, all those markets have already introduced the stimulus package that supports their automotive industry. And there's no reason why South Africa cannot. In fact, this morning we just had a meeting of our office bearers as NAAMSA to be able to discuss this very same point. And we've agreed that we certainly need to be able to approach government so that we can be able to put together a stimulus package, a proposal that we can be able to put before a government. And our view is that that stimulus package is not necessarily about necessarily funding only, but we can be able to look at other policy levers and use other regulatory instruments to be able to enhance our capability to can be able to, amongst other things, and most importantly, stimulate demand for local vehicles, because we need to be able to stimulate demand for cars in South Africa so that we can be able to encourage current car buyers not only to focus on buying second-hand vehicles, because that's where the trend has moved, you know, where people are now going into second car buying market as opposed to brand new vehicles. So we are going to be putting together a very compelling business case to be able to have a conversation with government to say, how do we stimulate you know, demand for vehicles in South Africa so that more people can be able to buy and own brand new vehicles.
Just give me an example of what some of those non-financial policy levers might be to help stimulate demand.
Well, amongst other things, what we're looking at, obviously, is tax deferments, because remember, the industry is contributing quite significantly towards the fiscus of the country. We pay tax, whether you're looking at it through the lens of VAT, whether you're looking at it through the lens of levies, there are a lot of levies that we pay, whether it is ad valorem tax, that we pay, that we pay obviously for bringing all the vehicles into the country, amongst other things, as part of our import duties. Whether you're looking at carbon tax, I mean, we're paying now quite a significant amount, you know, towards carbon tax, which we also need to be able to look at. So our view is that we're not saying we don't want to honor those obligations, tax obligations, because we also recognize the fact that government is also under pressure in terms of making sure that they are able to collect as much tax as possible as they can. So we're saying defer some of those tax payments, at least give us a breathing space for the next 3 to 4 months, maybe 6 months if we can, at least up until the end of this year, so that we can be able to make sure that we're able to, you know, breathe a little bit easier. Some of our manufacturers, for example, have introduced also a fantastic products into the market where people can be able to buy cars, but they will only start paying for those vehicles in 2021, primarily because of the fact that we are recognizing the fact that a lot of our consumers are under pressure, and we need to be able to put together products that can be able to bring them back and stimulate this demand that we want to put on the table.
And then you throw into that pot, Mark, to bring you in here, the fact that many of the car rental companies that we see, Hertz in the US and what's happened there since filing for bankruptcy. If you look at the stock price, you would think it's a different story, but operationally it's filed for bankruptcy. We've got a lot of those cars coming into the market, creating a bit of an oversupply in those categories. But broadly speaking, what are you seeing from the dealership perspective in terms of impact so far as we've exited into level three?
Thank you, Michael. I think, you know, it's been clawing our way back very slowly. May was obviously a very, very tough month. We only really started trading halfway through. And dealerships are still nowhere near breaking even, I think. I think it's going to take at least till about July, August before, dealerships start climbing out of the hole because of their heavy, costs. Opportunities, however, as you rightly pointed out, these rental cars coming back into the market, there really isn't a rental business in South Africa or the rest of the world for the time being. And that's going to represent a really good opportunity for consumers out there to buy 1 or 2 year old cars that are very well maintained and a good value proposition. And linked to Michael Mabasa's point, I think if government's going to put a stimulus program together, it must be on cheaper new cars. I think that bodes very well for low interest rates and first-time buyers into the market, and let's empower these people to be able to buy their own car.
From that perspective, Faisal, what has the impact of the lockdown been on the vehicle finance industry? Is it realistic to expect a rebound from these levels?
Good question, Michael. We've seen the stress really from the consumer point of view. A good example is that, for instance, in our base, that almost 42% of the people that we finance over the years have asked for what we call the payment relief or payment holiday for a period. So what it means that to get an opportunity at least to have a 3 months of breather while the economy stabilizes, and some of these individuals that we're dealing with perhaps have been not been working for a period as a result of the lockdown. And some of them, because of the industries they operate in, those industries were not allowed to trade. As a result of that, there was no generation of income opportunity. So, and I think the stress has been there, but we remain optimistic. And obviously, I mean, one has to look at the numbers that are coming out in June and end of May as the lockdown relaxation started to come through. And I must say that we feel a bit optimistic that while the situation is going to be tough for a little while, but there are some green shoots that are very encouraging in terms of the buying effects that we're seeing out in the market. So we remain optimistic, and the future looks a little bit brighter.
Mike, from an industry perspective and representing the OEMs as you do, they have committed to South Africa through various iterations of policy certainty. We've had automotive industry development programs that have provided the kind of certainty that business loves to make long-term capital commitments to the country. What happens now to that? If car makers are struggling for liquidity thanks to the crisis, how does that impact on some of these ambitious targets that have been set out through our motor industry development program?
Well, look, there's no doubt that it will have an impact, Michael, without doubt. I mean, we've committed and we've launched, for an example, the South African Automotive Master Plan towards the end of 2018, primarily to be able to get to a place where we can double our current production capacity. Because as you recall, South Africa is currently producing around 630,000 cars per annum. We want to be able to move that 600,000 odd to 1.4 million vehicles every year. With the current situation that we find ourselves in, unfortunately, some of those ambitious plans that we have put in place will be impacted upon. And this is why we need to be able to have conversations across the value chain so that we can be able to make sure that those plans are not going to be killed, but certainly we can be able to revive them as we go, adjust them as we go, so that we can really be able to make sure that we can continue to stimulate our ability to can industrialize South Africa. Because as soon as we are able to up our production numbers above a million, as we are waiting in the next couple of years, obviously that's a very good story for South Africa, because we'll certainly be able to create more jobs for South Africans, because you know the economy, as we all know, is currently under a lot of stress. We are under a recession. We need every job can be able to keep and obviously create, so that we can really be able to make sure that we are able to get our economy back online.
And that is an important conversation to have, because if you're asking government for tax deferral, it's effectively taxpayers as well that you're asking for some kind of deferral, and they would want to see what the quid pro quo return is for the broader South African economy. And that has to be further investments and new jobs and stimulating a sector that so far has delivered on all of those promises. Mark, coming back to the dealers, clearly, you have to be creative through a time like this. And we saw all kinds of trends pre-COVID-19, virtual showrooms. They seem to be a little bit on the periphery now. What has happened? How are dealers responding creatively to the crisis?
I think dealerships are really looking at value for customers and trying to get them into new cars. At the end of the day, the economy works on new car sales. It's a classic benchmark that most people use to measure any economy. So there's some very, very good and clever and innovative deals that dealers are doing with banks in terms of deferring installments over this difficult period. And also highlighting good value and low cost of ownership of cars. So that's quite exciting. And I can see right now it's a really good time to buy a car now in the next few months, because we, unfortunately, with the rand depreciation, we are going to have an inherent amount of price increases coming through the system. That will take some time. So there's a lot of stock on rubber right now, and that probably will be 10-15% cheaper than it will be in the next 2 to 4 months, despite even though the very good news of the rand coming back. So that's great news, the rand hovering at about 1660 or so at the moment, even yesterday going under 1650, which does bode well, but very good time to buy a car today, actually.
South Africa is a nation of petrol heads, let's face it. We love our motor racing, we love driving cars, we love buying new cars, but that has certainly taken a back seat through the crisis. What we've heard so far, though, is that we're starting to see the emergence of a real buyer's market with where interest rates are and with a lot of rental fleet stock coming onto the market. That said, Faisal, how have dealers on wholesale finance been supported during this period of lockdown?
Good question, Mike. So in the same way, we've responded very well to end consumer. So our strategy as a bank is that we want to be the bank of choice for the dealer network. So as a result of that, we've come up with a number of instruments that we give to our dealers, particularly in areas like a floor plan where they need to have stock holding. We've had scenarios where we had to defer interest payment in some of those facilities. And where there are opportunities for negotiations in terms of payment, we also been very open. And I must say that a number of our dealer bodies have taken the opportunity, because we're very clear that in good times, you must be closer to your client. Even in difficult times, you must be there with them in finding solutions, because we know that over time, this industry is going to bounce back and it's going to be strong, and we want to be there with our clients when that happens.
Mike, there's another big trend happening that sort of overlays all of this, and there's a big trend towards the electric vehicle and the electric drivetrain. How does that inform the way the industry is currently looking to approach government for further relief measures? And are we going to ensure that we don't get left behind as that trend surely increases post-COVID-19?
Well, look, the evolution of electric vehicles in South Africa is obviously currently moving very, very slow. We are trying to energize it. We have just completed a study in the last 2 weeks. We are presenting that study back to our CEO Council on the 24th of this month to look at a number of permutations in terms of how we can be able to accelerate the speed at which we are moving as a country in terms of introduction of electric vehicles in the country. We are currently very energized by what we've seen from the findings that the study has put before us, because that study has looked at issues like, for example, low action of electric vehicles. It has looked at issues around infrastructure. How do we roll out infrastructure across the country? Because South Africa, as you know, is a very sparsely divided country in terms of a landmass. You know, in order for you to be able to drive from Cape Town to Messina, you need to behave, you need to be comfortable that if you're driving an EV vehicle, you're able to do so seamlessly, and the network is there to be able to support you. We've looked at issues around the environment and the benefits that it will bring to South Africa if we introduce electric vehicles into the market. We've looked at also issues around taxation, because currently it's very expensive to bring in vehicles that are imported as EVs into the country. We're actually paying 7% more for EV vehicles than you do on your conventional combustion engine vehicle. So to import, for an example, a small BMW i3 is more expensive than you would actually import a BMW X7 into the country. And it doesn't make sense for us. So we are beginning now to engage government so that we can really be able to see how best we can be able to make sure that electric vehicles gain traction, because this is where the world is going, and South Africa cannot afford to play a catch-up game.
Absolutely, and infrastructure is a big point. I had the pleasure of driving an i3 around last year. We couldn't get from Joburg to Clarence without having to at least charge once, and at that stage there weren't too many charging stations on the route. Interoperability, all of those things need to be worked out. It'll be interesting to see what we have in the budget on the 24th as well. Mark, from a dealer perspective, last year you called for structural reforms that deal with the key underlying issues in the economy. How will this benefit dealers, and which particular structural reforms would you like to see implemented as we head into that critical budget in 2 weeks' time?
Well, typically, I mean, I think interest rates are one of the things that we were actually wanting to improve, because the consumer needed to have more disposable income. There's no better way to kickstart an economy with consumer spending. So let's just start with that one. This has inadvertently come, ironically, by COVID-19, but that'll make a very big difference over time. I don't see government upping interest rates for a long time. In fact, the pressure will still continue actually on downward space. So that's the first thing. Secondly, government spending needs to be curtailed in the right directions, in the right areas. So instead of having a massive government payroll and all these other ridiculous expenses that government is paying, like on SOEs, etc., we can rather divert that into kickstarting the economy. And bringing in electric cars would be a great one. Instead of spending money on SAA, potentially we can spend money subsidizing electric cars in this country. That's just my opinion. And so there are very good ways of government that they can divert money into stimulating the economy, and those are just two very small ones there. Yeah. And that could really get things going. We can become an electric bastion of Africa if we get this run right.
Absolutely. Let's get Elon Musk here, give him all the incentives in the world and become the hub of this new future. It's what the new consumer wants. If you look at all the millennial surveys, it's all about being very aware of ESG themes and the environment, the big E in all of that as well. So that's going to be driving your future market here. Faisal, what assistance have banks provided to OEMs at this stage?
Yeah, so through our international office in corporate and investment banking, we have a very good relationship with OEMs globally. In fact, we've got teams that are sitting in Europe, in the US, and some of the teams are servicing the Asian market, predominantly where we have Asian manufacturers. So all the time, as the pressure and the demands for cash flow becomes an issue, we are able and willing to engage the OEMs in terms of supporting them in terms of the plan. And obviously, I mean, locally, if we have, for instance, needs, we do engage extensively with OEMs that are operating in South Africa. A number of them have funding lines with us. As and when there is a pressure or requirement, we are always available, because the way, as a bank, we look at the vehicle sector, we don't look at end-user finance, we don't look at dealership in isolation. We look at the whole ecosystem to understand exactly what is happening. And through these strategic relationships which we have with OEMs, we are able to pronounce how the future is going to look like, what sort of instrument we must do, And if there are things that we need to be doing differently in supporting the sector, and it comes from a very strong, informed basis.
From that basis, from that kind of holistic picture that you have as a key funder in the value chain, what advice would you have for suppliers and dealers to survive this period and ensure that they not only survive, really hit the ground running into the future?
That's a very powerful message, you know, and question that that you asked there, Mike. So we're very clear in our approach is that we want to make sure that our suppliers and partners, you know, stay close to the bank. We, in fact, in the last 2 weeks, we've been connecting to the rest of the country with all our dealer groups supporting, just understanding exactly where they are, how they're navigating the crisis, and what support is required. And I think the key is that through being frank and being around the challenges that you face, engage your partners, let them understand where you are, and collectively, if those things are managed well, we can be able to overcome some of the challenges that we see now, because you know, we have the appetite and we have the interest to make sure that we're able to succeed.
Now, Mark, I know when we last spoke about this, you said that it was all good and well to be able to operate under level three, but there wasn't the supporting infrastructure around you. For example, you couldn't get licensing done because many of the license centres remained closed. Has that opened up? What is the situation looking like currently?
Yes, looking a lot better there, Michael. The licensing offices and test centres have really started ramping up, and that's making a big difference for everyone. And that value chain is really changing. And that just unleashes a whole lot of an economy and a supply chain that it can suddenly start moving. The banks are now seeing more applications. I'm sure Faisal's team will see a lot more applications this week. Speaking to another bank the other day, their application rates are very, very high. Maybe Faisal can tell us about that. But it's just unleashing a whole lot of cash flow, not only for franchise dealers, but for the whole used car chain as well, which makes a huge, huge difference.
I'll come back to you on that point, Faisal. Are you seeing an increase in applications?
Absolutely. I mean, we study the numbers every day now because we come from a scenario where we had 98% down in April. In fact, if I look at the month of June, in the 4 months of trading, we already exceeded 50% of the sales that we did in May. So there's a lot of activity and positivism that is out there. And it's very important for us because from a bank point of view, it's a signal for confidence.
It is a signal for confidence indeed. Mike, as we zoom out and end this conversation, we look at the medium to long-term impact. What is your scenario planning telling you the impacts of this COVID-19 period are going to be on the motoring industry?
Well, look, I think the impact is definitely going to be felt for the medium to long term. There's no doubt about that. I think we've seen, and you know, the international benchmark that we are doing, looking at other auto manufacturing markets and the speed at which they are trying to recover, we don't think that South Africa will be moving completely on an opposite direction. I think that this is the same direction that we are certainly going to be following. The recovery is going to be very slow. And already the numbers that we have been playing around in the last couple of weeks clearly indicates to us that we are anticipating at least a 25% and overall, in terms of production, in terms of vehicle sales locally, in terms of exports that we'll be sending out of the country, and also definitely that we'll be bringing into the country. So we are currently projecting around a 25% decline in the market compared to the corresponding period last year.
That's interesting compared with what S&P Global is seeing globally at around 15 to 20%. So slightly more than that. Just as we end off, guys, Mark, there's been a lot of innovation at the dealership level, I think, in the digital space. So the fact is you do a lot more online now. You do a lot more speccing of the car online. But people, it's still that kind of purchase that you want to come in, you want to kick the tires. How do you see digital now accelerating in an environment where people also want to keep a physical distance, but at the same time want to make use of all of the advantages of a digital sales experience?
Yeah, I think it's a good point. I think ultimately the customer probably wants to get a little bit more out the way before he actually visits the dealership. And I think that's the difference. You can do a bit more bank finance applications, get all that process out the way, and do his research on what he wants to buy, or what he or she wants to buy, which has pretty much been happening anyway. So a lot of the process is mostly taken care of anyway, but ultimately when you're buying the second most expensive investment in your life, biggest investment of their life. You want to touch and feel the car, and that they can do by dealership appointment and go and see. So pretty much the whole process is actually very nicely done for customers. It has actually been like that for a while. So you can contact your any kind of dealer or manufacturer online via their websites, via their portals, and they can then sit and do the shopping. So I think if anything, it's hopefully making the buying process at dealer level a little bit easier for customers.
I think on that point, we've got to end it off. Obviously, a lot of good deals out there at the moment, but I'd also encourage anyone going out there to have a look at the terms of those deals as well. Watch out for those balloon payments and all those kinds of things. But very important that we see the South African automotive industry get out of first gear post-COVID. That was Mike Mabasa, currently serves as Chief Executive Officer of NAAMSA. Mark Demise, who's Chairperson of the National Automobile Dealers Association, MD and shareholder of North Motor Group, and Dealer Council Chairman of the Honda Dealer Network. And Faisal Nkizi, currently the APSA Group Managing Executive of APSA Vehicle and Asset Finance. It's clear that consumers are in the driver's seat.